Hey there, this is Seth Juarez coming to you from San Francisco, California for the Build Conference 2016 edition. I have a good friend with me. Vittorio, how are you doing, my friend?
Ciao, Jeff. How's it going?
Fantastic. So, let's talk about identity.
All right. Like,
because I think it's a huge, it's an important thing, especially nowadays in the days of sort of leaks and problems and security issues. Why don't we get into the notion of identity and then maybe move on to how Microsoft is helping manage that. So let's start there.
Absolutely. Well, identity has always been super important, of course, because every time you need to access some kind of a resource, whatever is the guardian of that resource needs to establish whether you have a right of accessing it, in what terms you are supposed to access it. And this gets especially interesting for developers and for like IT in general, now that so much of those accesses take place across the cloud.
Right.
Because in the past, if you do business authentication, you would mostly have all your users, what we call on-premises, so on your own local network, and all your resources would mostly live within the boundaries of your local network. And so just the sheer presence of that stuff in there meant that you were already authenticated. But now that you have so many of those resources that are, even if you own those resources, they live outside of the boundaries of your company. So you deploy them to the cloud and similar, but especially when those resources are not really owned by you. So a SaaS application, the APIs from the Microsoft Graph, like or any other API, all those resources live outside of your infrastructure. And so more and more there is like the need to assess your identity and express it in a way that can be actually transported all the way to those remote places and outside of your network, and have secure ways of establishing who is the caller and whether they have this access or not. So it's definitely growing farther in importance.
And it's a difficult problem for developers, especially now when we live in this era of disconnected services from all over the place. So I've heard, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, that usually this stuff is divided into authentication and authorization. Are those the two big things when it comes to identity, or is there more?
There is definitely a clear demarcation between those two. And typically one takes place thanks to the other. Let's say that first establish who you are, and then associated to who you are, there are things that you can or cannot do, which instead goes on the authorization side of the house. Now, one very interesting thing which took place in the last few years is that as we saw the rise of what we call the programmable web, in which more and more resources expose their access in programmatic fashion, then substantially there's this need for allowing applications such as Facebook or your own business applications substantially to act on your behalf. So that, for example, like, do you have Facebook?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Do you have friends that occasionally send you requests like, will you give water to my lambs
yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
like that? Okay. And typically, if you make the mistake of clicking one of those things, you'll get a dialogue which says, I'm Facebook, and this application is trying to access your profile. Are you okay with that? Now, that dialogue is typically a way in which Facebook is asking you if you want to delegate permission to that application to access your own data.
Right.
So that's a classic example of delegated authorization. And Facebook is an example that almost everybody can relate to, but you can take exactly the same approach and move it to the world of business, in which substantially imagine that you work for a company, you are buying a SaaS application, and this SaaS application does expense note or trip reporting and similar. And this application needs to know if you have reports, so that once you sign in and they need to show you which reports you needed to approve, they know which employees they should retrieve this stuff from. And this information is typically held in your directory. But an application that comes from the outside normally does not have any access to your directory.
Right.
So with these new mechanisms, including Azure Active Directory, we actually allow applications to ask specifically for the permissions and only the permissions that they need. And we empower end users and administrators to simply grant those permissions in a very granular fashion. So that when you buy this SaaS application and this application needs to gain that kind of information, instead of giving them the key of a castle so that they can do everything,
right,
you just give them access to the portion that you need, you know that they need for performing the business function for which you bought them for.
That's an interesting thing, because then that leads to this notion of identity in computers, because I have an identity at my bank. I have an identity at, you know, Facebook. I have an identity at Twitter. I have an identity somewhere else. Where is the ultimate source of truth, or do you have to designate for your application, here's the truth of identity? How does one start to think about that process?
That's a very, very interesting way of looking at it. Well, the idea is that identity is always relative to a context. So
right.
If I am paying taxes, then my identity is of American citizen.
Right.
Despite my accent, mm-hmm. I'm an American citizen.
Nice.
I know. And I do have to pay taxes.
I recently did. Yeah.
And in that case, then the application is only concerned about that specific identity. Now, in this conference, one very common environment, one very common context is the business context.
That's right.
To say that the most important identity that the application is interested into is your employee identity,
uh-huh.
like the fact that you work for a certain company and that your identity is associated to all your colleagues in a way or another, like
yeah.
you can be manager, you can be managed, you
sure.
can belong to a group, you can have roles assigned. And applications such as, for example, the Microsoft Graph or any other API, the Azure APIs and similar, a big way in which they will be interested in your identity is to know from where, like your employee identity.
Got
and
it.
That's where Azure AD comes along. However, that's not the only case. So say that, for example, you are writing an application for your customers instead
uh-huh.
of your own employees.
Sure.
I don't know, you might be an airline and you want to do a frequent flyer program. Then at that point, the identities of the users of your applications will not necessarily be business identities. Those might be users that come from Facebook or that come from Google, or even users that have their own username and password with your own system. And with Microsoft Identity, what we try to do is to cater to all those possible situations. So that if you are in a business situation, we make it very, very easy. It's actually just one click for you to work with SaaS apps that need your employee identity. But if instead you want to work with what we say consumers, then we also give you the chance of very easily set up an application which works with all of those identities.
That's interesting, right? Because as I'm thinking about this, I'm starting to think about identity differently, because there's the business identity we have, but then there's also the social identity with Twitter and Facebook. You're saying that there's certain applications that might need aspects of two or three of those types of identities that need to be aggregated somehow. How does one sort of federate that kind of thing?
Well, that's another very, of course, interesting angle. There are applications like I don't want to make names, but there is one application that deals with managing your trips and similar that is a very good example of this, in which they can both offer their application to companies, so that all the employees get like a fixed price for working with that application, and then they also work with individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a very interesting scenario that we are definitely interested in implementing, and right now what we have is we just started in the path of managing all this,
yes.
and we actually have the ability of creating applications that can authenticate you both with Azure Active Directory, so with your business persona,
sure.
and with MSA, the formerly known Live ID Microsoft account,
uh-huh.
as your individual persona. And so you as a developer can register your app in one single portal. You have one single set of libraries that you write, and if you use those libraries, if you use that kind of registration, your application will work with both business personas and consumer personas seamlessly, which is a significant simplification
yeah,
in respect of today.
So let's get into Azure Active Directory, what it is, what it's for, and what are some of the benefits that you can get. Because I understand Active Directory from before, but you made the excellent comment that you're actually in the building, so we already know at least you got in the building and we know you're okay. Tell us a little bit about Azure Active Directory and how one would use that.
Azure Active Directory is Active Directory reimagined for cloud workloads. The idea is that on premises, you can rely on Active Directory to be the guardian of the authentication and directory information repository. However, as soon as you move to the cloud, you don't have the possibility of leveraging the same. So Azure Active Directory, in like an extreme simplification, is a projection of your on-prem directory to the cloud.
Okay.
So that many of the functionalities that normally you would perform on premises relying on the network layer, you can now perform in the cloud at the application layer. So normally when you are on-prem, you'd use, let's say, low-level protocols like Kerberos and similar for authenticating. Whereas when you go outside and you use Azure Active Directory, you authenticate using open protocols like SAML, OpenID Connect, OAuth. Mm-hmm. And this allows you to, when you are writing an application like the one that I mentioned earlier, like a SaaS app that lives in the cloud, to actually perform authentication without being constrained by on-prem. And then also, these allow you to create applications that query a directory because you have this projection without going all the way back. And furthermore, given that now there is this infrastructure, you can even have directories that are cloud only. So that if your business does not call for having an on-prem, I have friends that have startups that are very spread across the planet, so they don't have an office, so they don't need a local Active Directory.
Sure.
So they have only Azure Active Directory. Now, the situation that I just described is, Azure Active Directory original flavor. Mm-hmm. It's the main reason for which we even started going in that path. And it was mostly for supporting Office 365. So we did this because ourselves, we are a big cloud, SaaS ISV. Now that we have this infrastructure and that it's been very successful with customers, then we are building on top of this infrastructure. And so we created offers like the one that I described earlier, in which we use the same fabric, but instead of authenticating your employees, we allow you to have databases of users in which you can have your own username and password, your integration with Facebook, LinkedIn, and others. So that when you are creating an app for your customers, you can rely on the same large scale infrastructure, very secure infrastructure, but still cater to a non-business audience. And we keep expanding the scope. Eventually, we want to be able to have an offer that works with every developer and every audience. And of course, it's a path, it's a journey. There are many of those.
Yeah, of course.
So we are steadily making progress on that.
So one of the interesting things that I've learned early on is don't store passwords, one, you hash them, and then leveling up is I don't even want to store a password. I don't even want to know about any of that because then I will be liable. How do you make it so that you let Azure Active Directory just do that? How do you maintain that? How does my application work with that? What is it that I'm storing for this user now that lets me know it's okay?
So the good thing about outsourcing authentication is that your application doesn't have to store anything at all. Let's say that the idea is you configure your application to say every time somebody needs to authenticate, send them there, where there is an endpoint in Azure Active Directory. And then all the authentication takes place in there, and what your application receives is an artifact, which we call token.
Okay.
And this token is signed by Azure Active Directory, and the only thing your application needs to do is to know the public key of Azure AD. And so once they receive the token, they use the public key to know if this is a valid token or if it was modified in transit and similar, plus other checks, which I can simplify and not mention. And substantially decide that, yep, this is a token coming from the company which I decided to work with, so I'm fine. Now, your application is decoupled, but Azure Active Directory still needs to deal with your authentication.
Right.
And here there are various options, like there is an entire gamut of things that you can choose from. One typical configuration is you still have authentication taking place on premises, and there is simply a federation between your on premises directory and your cloud part. Or you can, if, for example, you don't want to do all the infrastructure for setting up federation, you can even sync up your passwords so that all the authentication takes place online. But of course, this will be done in the correct way. So
sure.
All the variable hashes are similar. And the fact that Azure Active Directory lives in the cloud allows us to do things that were unthinkable until recently. Like, for example, if a user uses a password that Microsoft Digital Crime Unit recognizes as one of the passwords being sold on the black market, so one leaked credential,
right,
then we can give you warning saying, hey, somebody is trying to do something wrong. Or if a IP address of a computer that is trying to do the connection is a known IP address of one bot network, like a machine that has been owned substantially,
sure, sure,
then also there we can raise the flag. And then, of course, on top of this, we can add very easily multi-authentication factor. And you are a Microsoft employee, so
yeah,
you know what I'm
talking about.
Right? Every time we sneeze, you get...
the phone's like, hey, is this you sneezing? Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's awesome, right? Because now, if you're moving sort of this authentication to us or to someone that's trusted, we can actually use our machine learning tools to say, wow,
yeah,
that's weird. I didn't think you were in Russia this morning, and now you're in Russia now. It's
yeah,
weird, and the flag raises. And then I usually get this email that says, hey, are you sure this is okay to log on? Or my phone will blink and say, which is really nice, something I don't have to worry about.
Yeah, that's a big, big advantage of outsourcing your authentication. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about authentication when it comes to the actual code of stuff. So I've heard that the new sort of way of authenticating is using the sort of claims-based authentication. Will you talk a little bit about what that is and why it's important and how it makes things a little bit better?
Absolutely. If you remember the description that I did earlier, mm-hmm, in which your application receives a token and just checks the signature of this token, well, the attributes that describe the user inside the token are what we call claims. The reason for which we call them claims is that those are attributes that are stated, like asserted by the authority, like the source of the token.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as your application trusts that source, then you can receive this token with a lot of information that you need without having to go back and call an API for knowing more.
Right.
So this is very useful, especially when you are crossing boundaries and similar. Of course, it's not always enough. Let's say that in the scenario that I described earlier, in which I get a token for a certain user, and I need to find out about the about all the users that
right,
reported to him,
mm-hmm,
then I do have to call, because
right,
this token cannot be too big. Like, I can add many interesting claims in there, but I cannot add the entire directory
sure,
and that
not,
thing. So it's a great approach for crossing trust boundaries and adding more information, and substantially it gives you a legs up.
And that's why, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you click on that thing and Facebook says, hey, someone wants to access this, usually there's a set of claims that they say, they want to be able to access your profile, they want to be able to know who your friends are. Are those examples of claims that Facebook is putting into this JSON Web Token?
Now I'm going to be pedantic.
Oh, please, be pedantic, that's what we're here for.
That's all I am able to do.
Yeah.
Those things will become claims once you receive them. At that point, those are mostly attributes.
Okay.
And you're saying, like, those are the attributes that my application would like to gain access to. And that actually translates in what you were mentioning earlier as being authorization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm being asked to authorize Facebook to release that information.
Got it.
To my application. And that's basically what it is.
And so it might not be a claim, but it would be a permission to access that information later.
That is exactly right. And
excellent,
then once it gets inside the token, then it becomes a claim. Like,
that's,
while it's in transit and it's inside the token, then it's a claim.
That's awesome. So this is pretty good. Hopefully we can do more stuff on this. We can get some demos, because one of the problems that I've had whenever I'm thinking of building an application is I don't want to do that stuff, because then I'm liable for it.
Yeah.
So where can people go to find out more about Azure Active Directory and some of the sort of the services that we provide to sort of forget about that?
So it's very uncharacteristic, because normally our links are long GUIs that come from SharePoint.
Yeah.
But this time we do have a link which is easy to remember.
Right.
And if you go to aka.ms/AADDEV, D-E-V,
uh-huh,
then you'll be on the jumpstart of all of our developer documentation, which gives you both overviews and quick starts and links to libraries. All of our libraries are open source, are on GitHub. So it's, I say, all very in the open and all very straightforward.
That's awesome. And again, I bugged you before, and I'll keep bugging you. We got to do more videos on this stuff because I feel like we are seeing far too many leaks of personal information because we're not being careful. And I think that this is a good service to look to. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Thanks again, Vittorio, for being with us. My name is Seth Juarez. We're here at Build. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.